I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're live today in Clearwater for Phillies spring training. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Kyle Quinn with us. A lot to get to today, including some Phillies on the show. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, if you're going to be out there drinking like that, make sure you eat. You don't want to have any episodes where, you know, you throwing up in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Are you talking about Tracy Morgan?
I'm just talking.
Okay.
I'm just talking. I ain't said nobody's name, but, like, Tracy had a rough one last night since you brought it up.
Yeah.
He had a rough one. Like, I woke up this morning and, you know, people were talking about it. And I actually saw somebody who caught a video of him going through it right before everything happened. Mm. Yeah, he was in a bad way.
It did not look good. No, that's good advice from Hugh Douglas this morning. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We are live in Clearwater, our second day, our second of two here in Philly spring training. Hugh, yesterday was a fun day. You got to throw the first pitch out. We got to watch the game from the Tiki Bar a little bit. Fun day in Clearwater yesterday.
Yeah, it was, man. We got to hang out with some folks at the Tiki Bar. It was fun. You know, and we had a great day.
It is always amazing. Every time we come down here, it feels like we're at home.
Yes.
Like when we were out there, like if you had told me that we were at home, I would have said, yeah. I mean, it just felt like everyone was from home, and they're all here watching the game. So fun day yesterday. Today we're going to have Philly second baseman Bryce Estott on the show and Philly's relief pitcher Orion Kirkland, who could have a big role in this bullpen this year. But, Hugh, it's interesting. Yesterday there was a game played right here in front of us at the park, and – the lineup for yesterday's game was different than the one a couple days before. And, this whole spring, Topper's gone back and forth on the leadoff thing. I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, it felt like most people thought it was going to be Turner, that they were leaning that way. They kept talking it up. But then we keep looking at these lineups, Hugh, and there's a lot of days where Schwarber's still the leadoff hitter. So here's what we need to do. What are we, 9 days from opening day?
Nine.
In fact, the actual season started this morning at 6 a.m. The Dodgers and Cubs played. So we're close now. We're really close to the start of the Philly season next Thursday against the Nationals. Hugh, it is time for us and for everyone listening to get on the record, Hugh. It is time to put your stake in the ground. Who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? Who do you want leading off for the Phillies? Because although everyone thought Turner, I don't think this is in stone yet. Schwarber, Turner, get on the record. 215-592-9494. Hugh Douglas, you start us off. Who do you want leading off?
I'm the leadoff.
Who do you want leading off as you're our leadoff hitter this
morning? Okay, I'm a long talk, just a tag.
Okay.
I understand the benefits of having the big fellow at leading off.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we're talking about Schwarber and how he's been successful. And it really hasn't been an issue. But this year, it just feels like this small thing changing the leadoff hitter, putting some more speed at the top of the order, and allowing him to get on base if that is the case, to try to get this thing going and to try to change your fortunes in the postseason. I think that's what they're trying to do it for. They're trying to have those games when the bats aren't as hot as we would like them to be, that you're in position to play a little bit more small ball and allow yourself to score some runs that, you know, could potentially win you the game. Mm. So I get the concept. So with all that being said in a long-talking kind of way, I want Trey Turner at the top of the
world. So you're ready for change. You're ready for change.
As Kyle is – like, I just feel like there's not a whole lot of changes that were made in an offseason.
Mm. Well, especially offensively.
Yeah, and you're talking about personnel and everything. And this is one of those moves that, subtle as it may be, I think there's something to be said, because yesterday when we were talking to Greg Murphy and he talked about how the third best hitting team in Major League Baseball. That's nothing to sneeze at. Even though we know here, boots on the ground, that the order went cold for the most part in the postseason. How do you fix that? Move guys around. Shake up the order a little bit. Try to put guys in position of their strengths. And with Schwarber, when you look at what he's able to do from that leadoff spot, if you have some people in position on base, I get the concept. So that's why you want to do that. But it all is contingent upon what Trey does at that leadoff spot.
Well, he's got a hit. I mean, right, there's no question. All right, 215-592-9494. It's a lot of long talking. And unfortunately, you're seeing this the wrong way. I mean, everyone is.
I workshopped this whole thing.
I know you did. And it's okay. I understand why you and a lot of people out there, Hugh, because I imagine a lot of people are on your side of this and want Trey to now be the leadoff hitter. I just, two things I keep coming back to. One, last season, Kyle Schwarber got on base 36% of the time, 366 on base. Trey Turner got on base 33% of the time. That's a big gap. That is a big gap in on-base percentage. Kyle Schwarber walked 106 times. He set the table for Turner and Harper and Bohm. Trey Turner last year walked 27 times. And I understand why we think of speed at the top of the lineup. Speed's only good if you get on base. Like, if you're telling me Trey Turner goes back to hitting 320 and wins a batting title and is getting on base 38% of the time, all right, I'm cool with that. But he hasn't been that player since he got to the Phillies. I can't hold my breath he's going to be that player. And, Hugh, you brought it up. A lot of people do. The best-case scenario, right? Schwarber's power down and more in the middle of the order. And that's great, and that would lead to some three-run home runs, maybe grand slams. But you also got to deal with the other part of Schwarber, which he strikes out a lot. Is part of his game. So if you're putting him at fourth or third or wherever, that means he's striking out with guys on base. There's so many things on this team that we're not sure of. We'll see. The one thing I know since he got here is Kyle Schwarber works as the leadoff hitter, hits all those leadoff home runs. I know people want to change something because last year didn't go the way we wanted. I think they're changing the wrong thing. I want Schwarber to be the leadoff hitter. I thought this was a battle I was about to lose, but now I'm feeling I got new life here because I saw Schwarber in that leadoff spot yesterday. 215-592-9494. Get on the record on this Tuesday midday show live in Clearwater, Florida. Who do you want as the Phillies leadoff hitter? It felt like it was going to be in stone that it was Turner, but the Topper keeps going back and forth. Let's hear from Rob Thompson. He was on the morning show a couple weeks ago talking about this and whether or not he knows, he knew then, who his leadoff hitter was going to be. Here's Rob Thompson with the morning show.
We heard Trey Turner talk on the afternoon show about how he's excited about the opportunity to lead off. Will we see him at the top of the lineup?
Well, you will today.
All right. Nice.
I don't know.
Rob Thompson getting ready for his career in professional politics.
Yeah, that was a great answer right there. Well done, sir.
Well, we're still tinkering with it, and I don't know where we're going to end up. One of the thoughts behind leading Trey off is that maybe it changes his approach a little bit, and he thinks about getting on base a little bit more because he's going to hit 20, 25 home runs just falling out of bed. The other part of it is if you have Schwarber behind Harp, does that help Harp out a little bit? But at the same time, I don't want to overthink it. You know, we've had a lot of success with the way we've done it in the last couple of years. So, you know, spring training is a good time to just try different things and see what shakes out.
Well, we're going to see what shakes out in about 9 days with opening day. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Get on the record on this Tuesday. Who do you want as the Phillies' leadoff hitter? Turner or Schwarber? Yesterday it was Schwarber. Sunday it was Turner. Kyle, Topper keeps going back and forth. I'm not sure he knows yet what he's going to do before we get to opening day. Kyle, on the record, who do you want as the Phillies' leadoff hitter?
Yeah, so I'm, first of all, very disappointed in Hugh because we were once a proud, full Kyle Schwarber.
I know. He's left us.
And Hugh has since left us. I'm a Kyle guy, and I understand the benefit of getting Trey Turner and the speed on base and stuff like that, but I do also worry about the amount of strikeouts that Kyle Schwarber will have at that spot in the lineup in the four hole. I think we obsess a little bit too much with the multi-run home run thing. Like that's going to be a rare thing, even if Kyle Schwarber's in the four hole. And look, I think the other part of this is Bryce Harper wants to be a three hitter. He said that before, that he is a three hitter. And Rob Thompson said that if Trey Turner's one, then Bryce Harper has to be two. So, like, I also think you have to factor that in, the comfortability of Bryce Harper.
It's not just two players. It involves everybody.
Right.
Well, it's a good point, right? It's not, if it was just a matter of switching one and then like they switch, that's fine. But this is infecting the whole lineup. Right. This is true, Kyle. It's a good point. At one point, we were aligned as a Kyle Schwarber leadoff show. Hugh has left the
nest.
He has flown off with the Trey Turner people.
Well, you know, because I look at it like this. What are we trying to do?
We'll
when
win.
It comes to
we'll
Trey,
win.
Well, I mean that's obvious. But
which when it comes to Trey, you mean?
I was thinking,
nailed it.
I was trying to take a deeper dive, if you will.
We don't do that.
I'm trying to be a little bit more reflective on this show.
All right, so go ahead.
I'm thinking because what is the issue that we've had with Trey over the years that he's been here? Chase rate at the plate. A lot of people are a little bit upset at that. He's playing out at shortstop. A little bit upset with that. I look at it like if you're leading off, your mentality has to change because you're the table setter, in my opinion. You're tasked with the job of getting on base and putting pressure on the pitcher by being on base, especially when you talk about the way the lineup is coming up. So I look at it as they're in their own way, they're trying to get him to take more pitches.
I
and
agree
be
with
more
you.
Conscious
yeah.
at the plate.
It feels like they're trying to do this to help make him a better player.
Yeah. And initially, because I think there has to be. Never played baseball, but I would think that
no,
there
what do you mean,
has
never played?
To be.
We saw that first
well,
pitch
that was
yesterday.
Horrible. That was horrible. But I think that there has to be somewhat of a plan if you're the leadoff hitter. Get on base with my speed and allow my team the opportunity to put pressure on the pitchers. Because that's the one thing when you let's be honest with Schwarber hitting off leading off, you ain't if he gets on base are you worried about him stealing?
No, of course not.
That's not this is a little bit different. See, the mentality is different when you have Trey there. So I mean, I get it.
He did steal five last year.
I'm just saying, but it's not like it's not like you're like oh wait a minute we got a speed burner over there.
No, and I understand that. I think like the old school in a lot of people, you look, Trey Turner looks like a leadoff hitter. He's like, and when they signed him, I think a lot of people thought he was their leadoff hitter. I just, of all the things to maybe move or change or fix on this team, why are we changing the one thing that works? It's like turnkey. Schwarber leadoff, they win, he produces, he gets on base. I just, that's the
because
one thing.
Because the one thing that they wanted to do, they didn't get a chance to do.
Which is?
Get rid of Alec Bohm.
Well, that's what they, yeah, they didn't.
I mean, and I'm not.
So
not
you're saying it's almost like they need to change something in the
something,
lineup and this
something
is it.
Needs to change. The messaging, the packaging for this team has changed this year. We've all talked about that. We talked about how when we get a chance to talk to individuals, how the goal is still the same. It's just that it's not talked about. It's not mentioned as much as it has been in the past.
Yeah.
The mission hasn't changed, though. And I think that being a player, you know that it's kind of hard to get people to buy into what you're selling when you really ain't changed a whole lot about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in a situation like that? You make those subtle changes. It's like being in a relationship and you tell your significant other, I'm gonna put the toilet seat down, and then every now and then you still leave it up. You gotta work to that point. You gotta change other stuff to maybe take some heat off of the fact that you don't put the toilet seat down all the time.
So is Trey the toilet seat?
Well, I mean, in this analogy, I didn't workshop that part about
tough.
It. I just tried to, you know,
okay.
bring it on home so that people could make it relatable.
I'm just trying to work through it in my head. All right, 215-592-9494. Midday Show live in Clearwater, Florida. Philly spring training. We'll have Bryce Estott on the show today, Orion Kirkering. And we still do not have an answer on who will be the Phillies' leadoff hitter. On Sunday, Turner led off. Yesterday, Schwarber led off. Get on the record. Who do you want the Phillies to have as their leadoff hitter? Kyle and I am in a show that was once aligned.
Once proud.
We stick with Kyle Schwarber. Hugh has jumped. He's one of the Turner people now. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown is up on WIP. Hey, Chris.
Happy Trey Turner leadoff day, man.
Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, first of all, Hugh.
Yes.
Hugh, talking about toilet seats, your battle buddy Kyle showed everyone yesterday why this younger generation needs to stop the oversharing.
I agree. Yeah. No. And you know what? It was talked about a lot on WIP. Top 5 at 5 yesterday. John Johnson overnight. A lot of conversation about Kyle's accident.
This exact problem here. So, guys, let's get to this because I believe Trey needs to lead off. Okay. Here's why. For all the success that Schwarber's had at leadoff, it still wasn't enough for us, guys. We still need to figure out that winning championship formula. It wasn't with Trey leading off. We got no rings. We collapsed in Arizona. We were one and done last year. So they're trying to figure out some other way to make this work. He can use his speed. We've talked about that. He can immediately put pressure on the pitcher when he's on base. It's not just, hey, I gave up a long ball and now I can settle back in. It keeps that pressure going for yet another batter. And, you know, plant Joe and the Pens boy, mostly because it forces him to change his approach and his mindset. And by his, I mean Trey. We've learned that Trey is a feelings and a vibe guy. And he needs positive affirmation to play well. So when he is in that mindset where he's going to change his approach, because he's already said that in his own interview, he said he changes his approach when he's leading off versus number two. At number two, he feels like he should swing for the fences, where at number one, he knows it's all about getting on base. Joe, to your point, he's going to walk a whole lot more than those 27 times. Here's the other thing. Schwarber and Harper will adjust better than Trey. So I think they might be a little hit to them, but I feel more confident they have the ability to adjust to their new roles in the order. So it is a net positive. Plus, at the end of the day, it's like Hugh was saying yesterday, and I thought about it. I'm 100% on board with this. Offense, guys, is a luxury in baseball.
Oh, no.
I think this is the best way to go because it's all about the pitching. And like Hugh said, the offense is just a luxury. So we could afford to tinker and mess around with it. That's my thoughts, guys.
So, look, the bottom line is this. Chris, and Chris, good phone call. I get the idea that Trey might be different and might adjust. I don't know if it's as easy as we think for a leopard to change his spots. Like, is Trey Turner going to go up there and walk 100 times now because he's hitting leadoff? I think he's going to be Trey Turner. Like, will he try to take more pitches? Sure, but it feels like we're almost cutting our nose off to spite our face. Like, to salvage the Turner thing, we're going to put him in the leadoff. Like, why are we putting a guy at the top of the order and giving him more plate appearances when we're concerned about him? The whole thing, Kyle, to me, feels backwards.
Yeah, it's a great thought about Trey Turner adjusting his approach to him, but Chris Thayer admitted himself that Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper are better at adjusting, at least in his opinion, than Trey. So, like, he went on this whole thing about, you know, Trey's going to change, but then just admitted that he might not be able to. Like, I like the idea, but I don't know if in practice it's going to go as well. By the way, bit of, I guess, potential breaking news here. So the Eagles tweeted, quote from Brandon Graham, "It's not how hard you hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done." Stay tuned for an announcement from Brandon Graham at noon today.
All right, so, well, we will carry that.
And he's holding a presser at noon.
Presser at noon today, Brandon Graham. We will carry that live.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, and we're excited to have that. It's part of the Midday Show today. So Brandon Graham has an announcement for everyone coming up at noon today. Stay tuned. We will carry that live on WIP. Let's go to – who we got here? We got Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
What's
Jeff.
Going on?
I don't want either one of those dudes leading off. I want Bryce and Stott to lead off. Now, with a healthy Stott and a healthy Boehm, to me, that's my 1-2. And put a Harper at third. and you can mix in. I would probably back up Harper with Schwarber. I don't really care about the lefty-righty thing. I mean, the guy, both Harper and Schwarber hit left-handers pretty well. So having them two back-to-back is fine. There's not really anybody that can hit behind Harper. You can't put Castellanos back there because he's a free swinger also. There's not a whole lot of protection.
So I know you're a stock guy, and look, we're going to have Stott on the show today, and I'm a Stott fan too. But don't we need to see him, Jeff, be good again before we just give him the number one spot in the lineup? Well, because we can be real. From May on last year, Bryson did not play well.
And he was not healthy either.
I agree. But don't you need to see him hit well? Like to me, Stott is more of an idea that he is a solidified thing at this point.
Well, I think he did enough the year before to prove that. That's what I'm going basing it on. And one other thing that the math doesn't seem to work out with this. When I heard you say this earlier, when you said you don't want Schwarber striking out with men on base.
Right.
But he strikes out a lot in the leadoff spot. So it doesn't, in that respect, either way, it's a negative. It doesn't do anything. So what difference does it make if you're striking out in the leadoff spot?
The way I view it is, I mean, you're right. Neither are good, right? No one wants a strikeout.
Right.
But one is a leverage moment. Like if he strikes out to start the game, all right, we got Turner, Harper.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah, boom.
That's kind of like the ninth hitter or in the old days when pitchers hit, your eighth guy was supposed to go up there and do whatever he could to get on base. It didn't matter if he got a hit. He just needed to turn the lineup over. So I don't like the leadoff guy being up there to sort of turn the lineup over.
Well, like, no, I don't mean turn it over. You can live it.
I know.
If he's batting fourth and there's one out, I guess one out, right, in the first inning, two guys on, that strikeout crushes you because if he puts the bat on the ball and gets a single, right, there's a run that comes in. Or you know what I mean? Like there's guys on base.
He does see a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
He does see a lot of pitches. The other thing is I just think that you're wasting RBI opportunities with Schwarber in the leadoff spot. He's been getting 99 to 100 every year. But think if he was in the third or fourth spot or fifth spot, he could probably drive in 130, 140.
He probably would. Now, I agree with you. His RBI numbers would go up. But the other side of it is he probably scores less runs, right? Because he walks in front of Castellanos.
He's driving him in.
Yeah, right. Who's driving him in behind him?
I guess it's run production when you add up the RBIs and runs scored minus home runs. That's the big number. And if you can produce a lot of runs, you produce more when you're in the third and fourth spot than when you're in the leadoff spot.
Well, he could. And Jeff, we appreciate the phone call. I don't think the Stott idea is crazy. I just think he has to earn it first. We have to see him be good for a full season. We really haven't seen a lot of that. I mean, Hugh, it's Turner and it's Schwarber. I mean, that's what Topper's been doing the whole spring.
You know, you're talking about the high-dollar guys. Yep. You got to get something. You got to get a little bit more from Turner. I know it feels like this is the year where, in my opinion, as good as he's been here, it's not enough. And I think that they're even looking for more from him. He needs to evolve a little bit on this team.
And they need it. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. All right, coming up on the other side, your phone calls. We're live today in Clearwater, Philly spring training. There is a Brandon Graham press conference coming up at noon today. We'll air that live. Brandon Graham has an announcement to make to all of us. 12 o'clock today, Brandon Graham press conference. Eagles said he has an announcement to make. We'll carry that live. Your phone calls here, Philly spring training. Who do you want? Get on the record. Who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? Topper's gone back and forth all spring, even the last 2 days. Yesterday was Schwarber. Sunday was Turner. Who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? Opening day, just a little over a week away. Coming up on the other side, you'll hear from both those guys, Schwarber, Turner, what they said when they were asked about leading off, their take on it. We need yours as well. 215-592-9494. We're live from Philly Spring Training on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Welcome back. Midday Show live in Clearwater, Florida. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. 215-592-9494. Get on the record here. Who should be the Phillies leadoff hitter this season? All right, we're going to hear from both these guys in a minute here and what they said recently. But, Hugh, there is a I guess there's a door number three that I hadn't thought about.
Door number three?
Yeah, well, I mean, door one would be Turner.
Turner.
Door two would be Schwarber. But door three was brought up when we were getting ready for the show today. Mike Angelita, John Brazier both brought up the idea of a door number three. Hugh, I'm curious what you think of this. What if they're both the leadoff hitter? And what I mean by that is, if Topper rolls out different lineups against a lefty or a right-handed starting pitcher. Like, let's use an example. Turner, as a right-handed hitter, would have the advantage over a lefty. Schwarber, a left-handed hitter, would have the advantage over the righty. Hugh, what do you think about the idea of Topper not actually committing to either of these? And let's say two out of every 3 days, it's Schwarber, and then one out of every 3 days, it's Trey Turner.
That might be the case. I think it's going to all depend on what the situation calls for. I think that one of the things that this team is going to go into this year and try not to be is, what's the word I'm looking for? Vanilla. I think last year when you talk about some of the things that they did, and even we talked about that, how they didn't shake up the order, how the day-to-day lineups looked the same, how the fact that Castellanos was a guy that didn't take a day off. I think that there's going to be more of a conscious effort to make some of those smaller, subtle moves in order to help keep the team fresh and kind of keep some fresh ideas out there. Because I'm a firm believer, you can't go into this playoff series, and I'm already projecting that they're a playoff team. There's no question in nobody's mind that they're going to the playoffs.
As long as their starting pitching stays healthy, it'd be shocking.
It'd be shocking. But I think that some of the subtle things, some of the subtle changes will be a emphasis on those to try to keep the guys fresh and try to keep them from getting stagnant in the same routine. Just shake it up a little bit.
So, in theory, just the idea of potentially having a lineup for a left-handed pitcher and a lineup for a right-handed pitcher, in theory, it makes sense to me. My only thing is, Kyle, these guys are vets. They always talk about being comfortable. Yeah. You said earlier it would affect not just not just Turner and Schwarber. It would affect the guys around them because where Bryce hits is affected by where the other guys hit. That's my issue if he's going to do daily lineups based on lefty-righty. You have to get everyone kind of to change on a daily basis. Right. That feels like a lot of asking of a lot of different players.
Yeah, I don't like the idea. It feels like... I guess in a way, almost feels like a desperation move, or like a move that like it makes him seem indecisive. Like, just pick a lineup and go with it. I mean, I understand the idea or the strategy, but then couldn't a manager theoretically throw an opener in?
You could,
and that sort of and that makes everything funky too. So it's just a weird idea. I'm not in love with it at all.
Well, and then the other thing is, what if one guy is hot and then, you know, let's say they face three straight righties. Schwarber's hits leadoff all 3 days, hits three leadoff home runs. Next day they face a lefty. Now all of a sudden Schwarber's not the leadoff hitter. Yeah. It feels, again, in theory, I get it. It feels like something that
it's
is almost a hedge. It's
yeah.
a hedge. It's and maybe it's one we're going to see early in the season, because it has been bizarre that so far we are about a week out till opening day and it doesn't feel like they've honed in on it. Because I would think if he knew by now, or he had a plan to go one way by now, that's what they keep rolling out there, so they're used to it. But that last 2 days here at spring training, it's been different. 215-592-9494. Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Get on the record. Who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? The results in this poll early are wild.
It's a joke.
Turner, 80%. Schwarber 20. Does everyone forget the last 2 years? Have
You've
we forgotten?
Been listening to me.
No, see, this is the problem.
I made a compelling argument.
This is the baseball guy you're listening to. He bounced a pitch at 55 feet yesterday. All right, before we go back to the phone lines here.
Don't be bringing up my credentials.
How could
bad,
I not?
Bad resume.
They finally raked the divot in front of us. All right, before we go back to the phones, let's hear from both of these guys. First, Kyle Schwarber asked early in spring training his preference, leadoff, not. Here is Kyle Schwarber talking about where he hits in the lineup.
It's just going to come down to us to, you know, really go down and figure out a way to try to get to where we want to be. Whatever, you know, my name gets read, that's where I'm going to hit. You know, I'm player number 12. I'm not a manager. I'm not a coach. I get paid to play baseball for these guys. So like wherever my name gets read, I'm going to play and I want to win. You know, I just want to win a World Series, and wherever we think our best lineup is to go do that and continually win baseball games, that's what we have to do.
So Schwarber there said he doesn't care. I mean, he said that for years, but he obviously has found a home in the leadoff spot. But that was Schwarber's take on it early in spring training. Let's hear Trey Turner. He did sound excited at the prospect of being a leadoff hitter again, which he was early in his career. Here's Trey.
So the big story seemingly out of camp so far is you possibly going back to the leadoff spot and being this team's leadoff hitter. You know, is that something that excites you, and do you think it can take your game even to another level getting back to that spot?
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long time. Last time I done it was 2019. Had a good year for me. I said this before, and we all say it, and we'll hit wherever Rob wants us to, wherever the coaching staff wants us to. We'll hit wherever because we want to win. We don't care. So, you know, if that is leadoff, it's 2-3. I hit 8, you know, a couple years ago. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But, but yeah, we'll hit wherever. And you know, that does excite me in the sense of maybe I can run a little more, score some more runs. You know, the last couple of years I'm trying to, you know, drive the ball a little bit more. And not that I won't do that if I do lead off, but, you know, that getting on first with no one in front of me type deal to lead off a game, I think can put a lot of pressure on the other team. And maybe we can have some big innings early on, maybe not bigger, but big innings early on and kind of get downhill early on. So I'm excited if it happens. I'll be excited if I hit wherever, though. I'm just excited to be back and love the game, love playing. And, you know, I think we've got a good squad.
So he mentioned there 2019 was the last time he hit leadoff. That was the year the Nationals won the World Series. Kyle, I went to look because Chris in Middletown, one of our first callers today, said if he's leadoff, he'll walk more. He didn't. I mean, like, you know, he was better then. He was younger. He played well.
Right.
But he walked 43 times that year. And his first year with the Phillies, he walked 45. Like, yeah. Trey is who he is.
Yeah.
Like, now, maybe he'll hit better. Just maybe he's going to have a good year hitting. But I find it hard to believe he's going to get up there and walk a lot. Like, he's not going to change who he is.
Right. I think what this is, and the Twitter poll voting and Chris in Middletown and other people today who are going to say Trey Turner.
Coping?
That's a word you could use. I think people are just more in love with the idea of Trey Turner rather than the reality
because
of Trey Turner.
Because he looks like a leadoff hitter, and Schwarber does not.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah,
sometimes you got to just roll with it. It works this way. By the way, last few games, Turner did lead off against a left-handed pitcher Sunday. That was Tarik Skubal. Schwarber has led off against righties, Carrasco and Bassett. I am starting to wondering if it's not A or B, Hugh, if it's A, B, or C, if they're going to roll with both of them.
I think you have to be versatile. I think that's better for the team. And it also, you know, I think that you don't want to be – you don't want to get too comfortable, you know, in a situation like this. You want to be able to shake it up a little bit, try to keep guys on their toes.
You think if he rolls out both lineups in April, it gives him an extra month to make a real decision?
Like, yeah.
Lets it play out for a month. If one guy is hitting well and one guy's not, maybe it becomes
easier? Yeah, it gives you a little bit more versatility. I think so. I think you have to be different because you didn't change a whole lot. And I'm a little superstitious when it comes to stuff like that. When you don't change a whole lot and go into a situation trying to do the same thing, well, going into a situation doing the same thing, expecting different results, I don't think that's a good spot to be in.
215-592-9494. Here's what we got coming up. Bryson Stott's going to join the show at 11. At 12 o'clock, we will air Brandon Graham's press conference. He has an announcement to make. The Eagles put out a statement that he has a press conference coming up at noon today. We will carry that live later in the show as well. Orion Kirkring, we're live in Clearwater for Philly spring training. All right, get on the record here. Who should it lead off for the Phillies? Joe in Harrisburg is up. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Hugh, Joe. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
So, I love the idea of Trey Turner leading off, and here's why. Last year, seemed like he really lacked confidence, and maybe had a lot of pressure on him because he wasn't just not batting good. He wasn't really playing to feel good either. And a memorable moment was when he was struggling. I forget what game it was, but the fans really got into it for him and cheered him on, and he went deep. So if he can get – now, he got it at 295 last year. This will be his 11th season. He's averaging 296. So he's at his lifetime average. That and is just – it hasn't looked pretty. But –
Well, I mean, to me, and I'll let you finish, but the 295, you're right, that's what he hit last year. The part that's crazy with him is that first half when he made the All-Star game, I think he was hitting like 350 around there at the All-Star break. And then, you know, he must have hit 240, 250 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
He gets so hot and so cold, and then it evens out to 295, yeah.
Yes, it's almost like Alec Baum, too. Like, what happened to him after the All-Star break?
Right. Yeah, he was bad, too.
Yeah, so I think we do got to pay attention to Stott, like you guys have been saying, too. He played injured, but I would love to see him up in the number one. If Turner can't live up to what we expect from him, you have no choice but to drop him in the lineup. I mean, you can't keep him up there. You can't put him at the third or fourth spot. So if Stott can play like we think he can, and move him up if Trey can't live up to it, maybe make him a leadoff hitter. Or even move him up to number two, and I would love Harper at three, and then if you have those guys on base and you have Schwarber coming up to the plate with three guys on, I would love to see that happen.
Yeah, Stott feels like an X factor kind of guy because I do think he's a better player than he showed last year. I think the injury with Stott, and we're going to talk to him at 11. The injury to Stott to me really changed his season, and we didn't even realize it last year. We didn't know about it.
I agree, and then knowing you still have JT and Cassie and those guys, and Alec Baum back there. So, I mean, you can't really ask for a better lineup than that. As long as the pitching's healthy, I'm comfortable with saying they have the best pitching in baseball.
So it's them and the Dodgers for me, Joe. Like, the Dodgers probably are deeper, but if it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, I mean, the Phillies are like – Lizardo as a number five pitcher is – I mean, that guy was a Cy Young-ish kind of guy 2 years ago. He's really good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like Hugh even said, too, I don't like how they kept everything. I thought some guys were going to be gone. I thought maybe they would have made some changes. I like what Bryce said, too. He would have been comfortable going back to the outfield if they could have brought in a true first baseman. And I would have liked to see them go after Pete Alonso there.
Well, that was the name, yeah. I mean, he lingered, Joe, and good phone call. He lingered on the free agency market for a long time. Hugh, I do wonder if that Bryce, I'll go back to the outfield thing, is going to come back up. I feel like if Kepler doesn't hit or he struggles or gets hurt, like if they have an outfield hole this summer, I feel like that's going to come up again. Because if the Phillies can get a big bat and that guy is a first baseman,
And Bryce Harper's already said on the record he'll go back to the outfield if it helps the team. That's a big lever they could pull.
Yeah, I think that's ammunition. And you, I think you have to be more pliable in a situation like this, because the way that you've been doing it, Joe, it's not working for whatever reason. And, you know, it's funny, as we got a chance to talk to guys yesterday and just seeing guys around, it's one of those things where it's probably not talked about as much, but guys are thinking about the postseason, you know. I mean, it's a given, you know, barring injuries and barring the pitching staff not doing what we think they're going to do, they're going to be a playoff contender, no question about it. And I think as a player, your biggest thought now is, okay, how can I change my approach for the postseason, or how can I be better in the postseason where my bats don't go cold?
Yeah, and I think versatility is better. I mean, I'm glad they've moved guys around different positions this spring. But the one thing that we've all wondered, and again, 2 weeks ago, I thought we were heading towards this thing as Trey Turner was going to be the leadoff hitter. Kyle, I thought we were going to lose this battle. But now I'm sensing some life seeing Schwarber in that leadoff spot yesterday.
We got some fight left in us, Joe.
It is not over yet, even though Hugh has become this Mr. Trey Turner leadoff guy.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Sudden,
the Benedict Douglas, man.
He
all
is.
All of a sudden, can't stay loyal to
nothing. I mean, we were aligned as a show, and then Hugh just, he turncoated.
It's just ridiculous.
Mr. Speed. And I thought Schwarber, a fellow Ohio guy.
I like Schwarber.
But I thought he would align with you, because you're not a speed guy. You're more of a power guy.
I'm starting to question.
But you know what it is, though? I want to go. I want to have a World Series parade. I want to feel that. I don't want to be in a situation where, you know, like the last one I was in, the bus speeded through the city, and then it got on the highway and went to a whole nother county that, you know, nobody was really trying to go to. I don't want to.
He has an agenda.
Yeah, well, you know, I just want to ride down the street. I want to be able to go down Broad Street.
This is how we got to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just want to be able to ride down the street and stay in one place instead of having to, you know, watch the parade in the city for like 10 minutes and then jump in your car and drive like 20 minutes.
This is purely selfish reasons.
To go to the celebration.
Everything is that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a me guy.
A little bit.
Me guy Douglas. All right,
I'm doing
Eddie,
it for the people, though.
In Fulcroft. No, you're not. You're doing it for yourself. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, so I got one quick point, and then I'll hang up and let you guys talk. But I think the biggest wrinkle people aren't talking about is you don't have Johan Rojas at the nine hole. You're not going Rojas to Schwarber. Instead, put Stott in the nine hole, turn the lineup over, and there's your speed right in front of Schwarber. You don't need to switch up the whole lineup that was working. The biggest thing that Schwarber was doing for us is he was starting off a lot of games 1-0. He was hitting the home run right away. So if you can have Schwarber start off a game 1-0 or even be the leadoff hitter, and then the second time the batting order comes around, you have Stott right in front of Schwarber, and there's all the speed you need. So I think putting Stott going into the one seed, I think people are out of their minds talking about that this early. And I think as long as it can work out and he is actually healthy, I think it's the most important and biggest part of this whole thing.
Well, you know, if Stott's good, and Eddie, it's an interesting idea. If Stott's good, it does lengthen their lineup, Hugh, because Stott is a guy. Like, we always talk about the top of the order. That's what we're discussing today. But, like, the bottom of the order for the Phillies, they have good players down there. Like, Stott is a good player who didn't play well last year. Marsh at times has shown he could be a good player. I mean, we'll see what happens with Kepler and how he plays this year. And Castellanos and Real Muto, who we talked to yesterday. But, like, one of those guys is going to hit 7, 8, 9. Like, some combination of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why if they get on base – Then they'll be on base for Turner and Schwarber, because people always say, like, the leadoff hitter only hits leadoff once, right? Then the lineup turns over.
Yeah, it turns over.
Yeah, but at some point there's going to be some guys on base for those guys.
Yeah, I just think in this situation where you got to get more from the guys that are, you know, they're in a position to make the most money. You know, you got to get some more from your core guys, and I think that's what they want. They want some more pop at the leadoff position, and they want more fluidity, I should say, throughout that 1-5 spot. Because when we think about this team, and we did it a lot last year, especially during the Arizona Diamondback series, we gave Rojas a lot of heat for what he wasn't doing in the lineup down there batting at ninth.
Yep.
It has to be more of the meat of that order has to come up and pay huge dividends. We can talk about moving Stott, Bowman, all these other guys all over the place. But if those core guys aren't hitting at the top of the lineup, it means nothing.
Well, that's where all the money is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like when we have the conversation about the Eagles. Like, we're not arguing about the backup running back or the left guard or the right guard. It's about Jalen and AJ and Devon. Like, that's where their money is. That's where they have to score points. And obviously, you know, Saquon on the offensive side of the football. Let's talk to Ian in West Philly. What's up, Ian?
Man, fabulous point by that last caller. I want to start my call. Hey, Hugh. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Ian.
All right, I'm doing great, brother. I want to start my call off by saying I have always been a pro Schwarber leadoff guy, mainly because, not because of the home run, because of, and I'm not a big analytics guy, but the number, like, you know, they work out at him at it's just everybody else not doing their job. But let me get into my point. If so, for all the people saying they like the leadoff home run that Schwarber, you know, produces, and I'll say I do too. And I'm not going to go as far as saying that the leadoff home run is a gimmick, because it changes momentum, it gets you ahead early, it does a lot of different things. But I would make the argument for people who are saying they like the leadoff home run, the four slot home run does just as much of a dramatic kind of emotional swing as the leadoff home run. It can pay dividends, put more runs on the board. It can do a lot. And even though I'd still be fine with Schwarber leading off with the home run and being the leadoff guy, I would say put Trey there. We need to put him in a position where he has more responsibility, more accountability. Yeah, I want to get more bang for my buck. Like, I like that idea too. But I think he's been here long enough. He should be settled in, and he needs to be put in a position where he can't coast anymore, man. He can't call shotgun every time we want to go for a ride anymore, okay? He needs to have his hands on the wheel as well, and we need to make it happen. All love to BG. I hope we got another year coming back. Hugh, thank you for your time with the Eagles. Love the show, fellas.
Thank you for listening, man. We appreciate it. Yes, we will carry the Brandon Graham press conference. He has an announcement to make noon today. We'll carry it live on the show. So the idea that Ian was saying there of kind of put more responsibility on Trey, and maybe that will push him to be better. I mean, Hugh, I don't think Trey's up and down time with the Phillies is for a lack of trying. Like, mm-hmm. we talked to him 2 years ago. We watched him every day.
He works hard.
Yeah, I think
he works hard.
I think he's a pro. I think he works at, like, I never, even when I've been frustrated with his play, I've never thought like he's half-assed, and I don't think that about him at all. I think he tries. It's
you just need more.
And you need him to refine the flaws he has.
Like, yeah.
It's not about trying. So, but there's a sense that if they put him lead off, he'll be better. Maybe. I don't know that. I mean, what if he's the same guy he was last year?
Well, I mean, from my perspective, I've never played baseball. But my thought when I think about being the leadoff hitter, like, the first thing that comes to mind is got to get on base.
Yep. That's your job.
Got to get on base. Like that just feels like that's my number one priority. Work the count. Get on base. Put pressure on the pitcher. My speed, to me, that puts pressure on the pitcher. If I'm on base and he knows that I got wheels, and now, you know, you talk about Bryce Harper coming up next and then Schwarber and the rest of the guys, that puts pressure to me on the pitcher to go out there and try to be as flawless as he can, because you got some guys coming up in that order, especially if Schwarber comes up. If you let Bryce get on base, Schwarber has a chance to knock it out of the park, and my job is to make sure every time as the leadoff hitter,
yep,
that I'm leaning off base, making sure that pitcher knows that I have the ability to take off at the drop of a hat. That's what it means to me when I hear leadoff
hitter. Yeah, and look, Kyle, I think people, you said earlier, the idea of Trey, people can fall in love. I don't think they also fall in the idea of he's going to steal 50 bases.
Right.
And maybe he can. I'm not saying, because he still seems to have his speed. But he hasn't run as much the last couple of years.
No.
And a lot of times when players get into their 30s, they just don't run as much. So, I don't know. I mean, if it's leadoff, is he going to run 30 times, 50? I think there's an assumption he's going to be different if he's the leadoff.
Yeah, and he's been having, like, hamstring issues.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Maybe that's going to be something where the Phillies are, like, kind of pull back on the running thing a little bit, and you know that would definitely affect it as well.
Yeah, and I just don't know why you mess with something good like that. The whole thing to me has really felt more like a, hey, we got to do something, let's do this.
Yeah.
And that to me is not the right way to do it, but we'll see. I mean, I the fact that we haven't had anything concrete in the last couple days, it's been back and forth. There is something to, they don't know yet, or they haven't decided yet, or they haven't told us yet. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up on the show, we'll get to all your phone calls. Stott or excuse me, Turner or Schwarber, who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? Bryson Stott will join us next. He's not, I don't think he's really in this mix. Maybe one day eventually becomes a leadoff kind of guy, but
We'll talk to Bryson Stott next here on the show. His thoughts on this season, their goals, and what happened last year. Because, you know, when he first came in a spring this year, he talked about the injury he had. How did it happen? How did it affect him? We'll get to all that. Bryson Stott's going to join the show coming up on the other side. And later in the show, we will have Orion Kirkering as well. Philly's relief pitcher, a guy that could get some big high leverage spots this year, maybe even close at some point. So we'll have Kirkering later, Stott still to come. We will react to the moves the Eagles made yesterday. They actually signed someone. They signed a player I liked. Yesterday was, I think, their best move of the offseason so far. And coming up at noon today, the Brandon Graham press conference. He has an announcement to make. We will air that live at noon. Coming up on the other side, Bryson Stott. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.